Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, everybody. We want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, April 13th, 2020. I have to say, he is risen. He is risen. Man, it's the day after Easter. And I hope that all of you had a good Easter Sunday, as different as it may have been. Mine was nice. At my church, we did a drive-in service. We also did one on Good Friday. And it was a bit different. I had never been to a drive. The only drive-in I had been to before was like an A&W or a Sonic type thing. But in this case, we pulled in like to our said parking spot, tuned in the radio to a certain station, and then we got to listen to the service. And it was really neat. It was really neat getting to see everybody, getting to see Pastor. He greeted me and said hi to me and to our family. He was really nice. And then, of course, we went and had dinner. Nice salmon with potatoes. Easter, I like a nice ham. By the way, it was nice and salty, just like how I like it. And but like I said, it was good stuff. But like I said, I'm so glad that rose again. And that he didn't just stay there in that tomb. He rose again on the third day. On the third day he rose again. And I'm going to read to you about today about that rising again. That resurrection from the dead. Because I'm so glad that he's not dead. That he's alive. And he's alive in us. He lives on the inside of us, which gives us a lot of hope. Always there for us, no matter what we're going through. Regardless of what time. And so glad that Jesus is my Savior and that he loves me. And knowing him just gives me hope no matter what. Regardless of what we're going through, no matter what we're dealing with. And so, I wanted to deal with whatever the virus real quick, and then we're going to get into some other things and read to you my our text for the evening. That is, first of all, as for these states who have these states and these municipalities, whether it be counties or cities townships or whatever else and states, the Justice Department is going to review a bunch of these cases this week. I think you're going to see some serious repercussions for these states who have, these states, counties, and cities who have made the determination that these churches must be closed and not even allowed to have drive-through services. Even though we were allowed to have a drive-through service yesterday at my church, our governor here has done some not great things, which I am not going to spend time to get into all that. But what I will say is to impede on our level, to impede on freedom of religion, the right to assemble for religious purpose, is that's not constitutional. That's not constitutional to impede the way that some of these governors and city officials did. It's not constitutional. It's not Christ-like either. Any of these governors that may complain, that may say they are Christian, if they are one, and then decided to impede, how Christ-like is that, Mom? How Christ-like is it to say that you're a Christian and then pass executive orders in order to impede on religious liberty? Oh, it's not Christ-like at all.
Not at all. Absolutely not. No.
So to any of those who say they're Christians and then do stuff like this, they need to take a serious look at where they are with God. They'd have to. And to those who made these orders, they're going to receive, justice is going to be served. I think you're going to see some of this go to the Supreme Court. I think there's going to be some election consequences. So we need to pray over our leaders. There are encouraging signs in a lot of states. The curve's starting to bend and flatten. We need to believe God to kill this virus. We need to continue to pray, like I said, we need to continue to curse Quran, the demon behind this virus, stupid, which is the spirit behind all these lockdowns and all these. In some states, there's things you can't even buy. And that's part of that spirit, which I have called things you just tap to name something. So I've came up with a name for it, stupid. So we need to bind Quran and stupid. Also, we need to pray over the leaders who have authority over us. The Bible says pray over those who have authority over you. So we're going to do that. Also, we need to pray for the economy, that it comes back strong when the right time is. And we need to pray. Yes, we need to pray that it comes back strong. The people would get their jobs back. Those who lost them. We also need to believe God. We need to pray for our pastors that they continue to be strong, whether they're at home or whatever they're doing for services, that they would just, that you would bless the churches. It's predicted that like up to 40% of churches could close as a result of this. In Jesus' name, no. and those user-friendly churches, what I want to happen with them is for their pastors to repent. Because God is dealing with the user-friendly church. I know He is. He's dealing with them. And so we need to pray. We're going to do that right now. And then after we do that, I'll remind you of what your homework assignments are. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now tonight. We're so glad that you're in our midst, Jesus. We're so grateful that you died on the cross for our sins. You died on the cross and shed your blood for us so that this virus could die. I command this virus to die right now in the name of Jesus, just as you stopped the plagues in the days of Moses and Aaron, so you will stop this plague and heal our land, heal these other countries who have had these outbreaks. I thank you, Lord. I curse this virus. It will die. It will bow to the name of the Almighty God. I say, I bind Quran, the demons and spirits behind all this overreach and all this. There's wisdom, but there's also overreach. Wisdom is the personal thing, and that. And I thank you. I bind the spirit of stupid and the spirit of Quran. It is broken now and is replaced with wisdom.
Amen.
And with wisdom and wisdom only. To do and how to do it. What to take down, what to put back up, reopen, what to do. And I thank you that you will deal with this. Also, I thank you, Lord God, for these leaders over us, our governors, our senators, congressmen, our president, our sheriffs, even our mayors and county commissioners. I thank you that you give them all wisdom on what to do, how to deal with all this, with what's going on. Thank you that you give them wisdom. I thank you that you'd reveal yourself to them, to those that don't know you. You're showing them what decisions to make. You show them how to repent of what they've done that's not of you, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, also for the economy, that it would come back strong and mighty. I thank you, Lord God, for pent-up demand. I thank you, Lord God, for businesses making it, that your hand is on these people, your hand is on these businesses, that you make a way where there seems to be no way. You always make a way where there seems to be no way, Jesus. You always do, and I know you will again. Lord God, I thank you for our pastors, for my pastor, Dr. Barclay, and for all these other pastors that pastor these churches. I thank you, Lord God, that you will strengthen our pastors, that they will continue to that they will have a great boldness for you, that they would preach the word of God with great boldness and simplicity and with fire. Thank you, Lord God, that you've given them words of knowledge, words of wisdom on what to say, what to do. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you're comforting them as hard as it is that in more cases than not, they don't get to meet. Thank you that you're just comforting their soul, telling them how their believers are doing, And I just thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on these pastors and your hand is on our land. I thank you for this country right now. I pray that you would heal it right now, and that all every demonic spirit that is on this country would be released right now. And I just thank you that your hand is on it. You make all things work together for your good, and I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen. Amen. I mentioned, what's my favorite part about Easter? Well, not like my favorite parts about it, and then what's a typical Easter like? My favorite part of Easter is I'd say it's certainly being in the house of God. Another favorite part, of course, is Easter lunch and getting ready to, and of course, opening the Easter basket to see what's in it, what candy, and what have you, did the Easter Bunny decide to bring me? Of course, this year he decided to give me a waffle maker. I do. Now, these ones are round. That being round, is that a result of the maker, or is that because of the waffle mix? What made them round?
That's the machine. That's the waffle maker that he should is round. There's no way to make them square.
I thought there was different ways on every machine, a different way.
No.
They don't do that?
No.
I thought they did.
No.
Different? Don't they have different sizes on them too, depending on the mix?
No. This waffle maker is one size. You can make one size waffles only. That's why you have to have two or three waffles.
And they're all different. Now, how soft they are in that might depend on the type of mix, right?
Yeah.
Favorite waffles ever, listeners, are from either the Waffle House or from these hotels. Specifically, one of my favorites when it comes to the waffle makers, I think, is Best Western. Because I feel like those are big waffles there. Aren't they? Out of all of them that have waffles, Dad, do you feel like Best Westerns are the biggest?
Yep.
Besides that, in not all cases, but in a lot of cases, there's some of the better bangs for the bucks, if you know what I mean. Some of them,
yeah.
Meaning sometimes they can be better and be like 79 compared to a different one that might be like 89 or whatever.
Yeah.
So it all depends on what you're looking for. But like I was saying, waffle wise, might be one of my favorite. Besides that, they got, generally they have that great biscuits and gravy. Hallelujah. that I like, as do a lot of other good ones. I've actually heard stories of people who live near these hotels, or they knew someone who lived near these hotels and snuck into a hotel to go get free breakfast. I've actually heard stories. Or to sneak in there to try to go and get breakfast and then go to the pool. It's kind of funny. Is American Man, would you do that? No. But I do think it's funny. Somebody I knew of actually did that once. Maybe it was that they snuck into a different hotel because theirs didn't have it. Maybe. Maybe that's what it was. That could have been it. You know, like when you're in the local area, and if you're in like what I would call a little hotel plaza type thing, where all you're surrounded by is like, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6. Have you ever seen it like 8 hotels right next to each other almost? Like, isn't one of them in Chattanooga, the area by Hamilton Place? Isn't one on the main road there'd be other stuff, but surrounding it is like 7, 8, 9 hotels. And they might be in like what? But I'm just saying though, but like you have all these and theirs might not have it, and they go to this other one and like, bam, Apple Maker. But anyhow, I'm gonna move on. But anyhow, you know, for Easter lunch, obviously it depends on the year, what we do, whether we're at home or we're at grandpa's. When I'm at home, I like one of those nice Easter hams. Some of that with some mashed potatoes. And now, starting with last year, banana pudding. That southern banana pudding. Like I've had at some of these southern places that I've been to when I've been on the road. But that's basically my favorite. Now, on a typical Easter, generally, you know, I'll get up and then, I don't know where I'm at, I might open up the basket earlier or later, and then get ready, go to the house of God, go to church, and then have lunch, whether it's at my grandpa's or wherever that happens to be, and then, you know, do the afternoon thing, and then go to church Sunday night. And then normally we do communion Sunday night, Easter. That was kind of different to me that we didn't have church last night. Because to me, that like a big thing, you know, is having communion on Easter night. Kind of like it seals the deal. It gives you a good chance to, you know, to thank God that he died for you on the cross and he has risen. And Jesus said, as often as you do communion, do it in remembrance, not in reference to the miracle man, in reference to Jesus, in remembrance of Jesus. Jesus said that was something that Jesus told him, as often as you do it. Whether you do it once a week, once a month, or just on Easter Sunday or Good Friday. Do it in remembrance of Jesus. And but anyhow, I think, you know, having that communion is powerful. It is. Yeah. So that's generally how Easter goes. And so, listeners, I wanted to encourage you to please tell others how they can be a part of the show. The best way to be a part is to call in. The number to call in to the show is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompt. When you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. Go ahead and press 1, and then I'll be notified that we have a caller, and then we'll get you on the air very soon. And it's always open. You can ask me anything you want to talk about. Maybe you want to know why the Easter Bunny is a certain way, you know, why the shape is a certain way, or better, what about Jesus? What about this resurrection? And by the way, what happened? You can't understand it for some reason. Call me. Ask me. I'll tell you. Call in 215-383-3810. Once again, that's 215-383-3810. Then we'll go from there, and hopefully we get some good callers tonight. All right. Now, I want to sing you a couple of songs. Now your mercy. No, I was breathing. No, I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. Yeah, I was breathing, but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. The old made new. Jesus, when I met you, you called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. Yeah, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. My freedom is all that I know. The old made new. Jesus, when I met you, you called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. Out of the darkness, to your glorious day. I needed rescue. My sin was heavy. Chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan, but you called me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. My eyes are open, 'cause when you call my name, yeah, and I ran out of that grave, yes, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You call my name, and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness, into your glorious day. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Into your glorious day. What a glorious way. Saved us. Thank you, Lord God, that you are risen. The moon and stars, they wept. The Son of God was dead. The perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. And the ground began to shake. The stone sin was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now, death, where is your sting? I resurrected King, has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. Yeah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. Yes. Hallelujah. Just take a moment and tell the Lord how much you love him, how much he means to you. Thank God. Hallelujah. You are risen, Jesus. You are risen. You are risen, Lord God. You are risen. And so thank Jesus. You died on the cross for us. And then 3 days, on the third day, you rose again. You rose again. Turn to somebody if you buy someone and tell them he has risen indeed.
He has risen indeed.
Mom, look at that. Mom, look at that and say he has risen indeed.
He has risen indeed.
Amen. 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 Now all you out there on radio, hope you were doing the same thing. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We're so grateful for what you've done for us. That you died on the cross for us, and that then that you, on that third day, you rose from the grave, and were taken up into heaven. And I thank you, Lord God, for everything that you did for us, everything that it represents. And I just give you praise and honor and glory for everything that you're doing in our midst, and that you would make yourself known to every one of these people, these awesome people that are tuned into this program. And I just give you praise and honor and glory for that. And I just give you all the praise and honor and glory. And Heavenly Father, I confess over the show right now that sponsors and partners are coming into this program. Increases, that finances are coming in. But increases in listenership are coming in. I thank you for people being set free, healed, and delivered as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' name, and most importantly, out of all of this, I thank you for that huge harvest of souls coming in to the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen. Open it up, your Bible, if you would please, to the book of Luke 23. We're going to begin with verse 23:50. That's where we're going to begin with the Word of God for this evening. Like I said, we're going to South, he's being buried, but then after that, praise God, the resurrection. Now I want to encourage you to follow along. You do there what I do here. So, just giving you a second to get there to Luke 23:50. By the way, most of you probably lost. I think I beat most of you. Tried to go slow, but I think some of you might have beat me. 23:50 of Luke and Ivy. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision of action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. When he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The woman who had came with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph, saw the tomb, and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfume. But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. Chapter 24. Oh, this is awesome. Verse 1. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, this is about sunrise time, very early in the morning, the women took the spices to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that flashed like lightning stood before them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. Tell me the next three words." For the living. He is not he among the dead. He is not here. And number six, this is supposed to be a test because, you know, your listeners, I was supposed to know what the next word is. Because those are three important words. He has what? He has risen. He has risen. Wow. I was hoping you guys were like, too excited what the next one was. All right. Well, the woman said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. He has risen. Some of your versions say he is. Others will say he has. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, but be crucified, and on the third day you'll be raised again. Then they remembered his words. Just like you then remembered what three words were. All right, verse 9. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they didn't believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb, bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. On the road, verse 13, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other that had happened. As they talked, as they walked and talked, they discussed these things with each other. Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Caiaphas, asked him, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? You do not know the things that have happened there in those days. What things? He asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful, and not before God and all these people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is it? I mean, what is more? It is the third day since all of this has taken place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us what they had seen, a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it as the women had seen him, they did not see. He said to them, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all of the prophets, all that the prophets have spoken. Didn't the Christ suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets. He explained to them what was said and all of the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The end is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, our hearts burning within us? Were not our hearts burning within us? Were he talked with us on the road? Oh, he opened the scriptures to us. They got up and they returned. The 11, they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two, what had happened on the way, and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still speaking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Startled and frightened, thinking that they had seen a ghost, he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in you, in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me. A lost. A lost does not flesh and bones. And you see, I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. For while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? In other words, he was hungry. They gave him boiled fish. And he took it and ate it in their presence. He ate a fish sandwich in front of him. As I heard one person say, he ate a fish sandwich in front of him. Dad, is that the passage he was talking about, or was he talking about somewhere else? You think it was that one?
I think so.
And he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophet, and in Psalms. Then he opened their minds, and they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and will rise from the dead, and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are of the benefactors of these things, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have seen, before you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out into the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted his hands and he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem. Without joy. And they stayed convincingly at the temple, praising God. Praise God. Isn't that so cool? Isn't that so cool? While he's sitting, it's like at the end of it, he's talking to the disciples, blessing them. He's like, God bless you, Peter, James, and all the other. And as he's blessing them, as he talks, up he goes. Yeah, as he's talking, up he goes into heaven. So let me explain. So he had suffered, and everything that had happened there, we read about that last week. Starting with where we read tonight, he is put in his tomb. And then on Sunday morning, they all go to look for him. He's not there. He's with Peter goes in to go see for himself. And he's like, what happened? And then a little while later, he reappears to them. And he is talking to them. And he's looking at the disciples, wondering, why do you all look so fearful right now? Why do you look so afraid? Why are you sitting there looking all afraid? Because first they thought they were seeing a ghost. They didn't realize they were seeing Jesus. They were all sitting there. They were looking like they had seen a ghost. But then Jesus revealed himself to them again, like it is written, I would suffer, and then I would come again. And that I would be seated at the right hand of God. That's what he said. And then he goes with them, you know, in out of the city. He appears to them. First, he shows himself to some other people, and they're like, oh, who is he? And then they explain everything that they had seen, and then he calls them foolish. He called them foolish. He called them foolish. And then he sees the disciples. The disciples, for verification, for an ID, they say, show us your eyes and your feet. Show us your hands and your feet. They needed that as verification, like an ID card type thing. And then they showed him. He showed him his hands and his feet. And they're like, "Oh, it is you, Jesus." And then he continues to talk to him, and he asks him, "Who here has some food?" And then they give him a piece of broiled fish. I didn't say grilled fish. I didn't say deep fried fish. I said broiled fish. And they gave it to him, and he ate them. He ate it in their presence. And he then decides to walk with them for a few minutes as they're walking out. And then when he's done, when he's blessing them, he's just blessing them. As he's talking, he's going up into the sky to be in heaven, to live in heaven. You know, that's where we're going to meet Jesus, in heaven, after the rapture. And it won't be too long. We're in the last of the last days. But we'll get to meet Jesus. I hope you won't be sitting there all doubting them like they were. Maybe they reacted that way because of joy and amazement. Because they were filled, because in a way, they were glad to see it. You know, as would I be. And when we all see Jesus, I know something. That's going to be a day of rejoicing. And we get to see Jesus in all his glory and all his splendor. It's going to be great. But why did he do all that suffering on that cross? Why was death arrested? Why was Jesus arrested? Why? Why did all this happen? For us. This all happened for us so that we could have a blood covenant with Jesus. Kenneth Copeland, he has done a lot of teachings on the blood covenant. And he's done all kinds of things in order to do it. Studies. And by the way, not just at Easter time, it's one of his biggest focuses. Another thing he's big on is healing. He's also big on other things. Those are two of his biggest areas, healing and the covenant. And note that they're related. They truly are. You know why? Because healing is part of that blood covenant that we have with Jesus. So is salvation. So is freedom. Freedom to live from God and freedom from sin. Freedom from substance abuse. Freedom from alcoholism. Freedom live for Jesus. It's called sozo. Sozo means saved, healed, and delivered. That's exactly what sozo means. Free, isn't there a fourth thing too, or is it just those three? I think it's just the three. Some people add freedom, but really that's the same thing as deliverance.
Yeah.
But you know, because of course once you're delivered, that means you're not bound anymore by whatever it was that bound you. And I'm so glad that Jesus died on the cross and then he rose from the dead. Because if all he did was die on the cross and not be risen, that would have only completed part of the promise. And you want to know something, listeners? The Lord keeps, he always does. He always keeps his word. He keeps his word better than any human I know could. He always keeps his word. what everything that's written in the Word of God, you can take it to the bank. You can take it to the bank because it is true. It's an infallible proof. Jesus is that the blood of Jesus is that infallible proof. I am saved because of the blood of Jesus. I am baptized because of the blood of Jesus. I am healed and set free because of the blood of Jesus. According to the word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, the blood of Jesus never fails me. The blood of Jesus never loses its power. Ever. The blood of Jesus. Jesus is always fighting for us, pushing back that darkness, lighting up the kingdom of God that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated. Enemies defeated. Whatever that enemy is, something in your life, a sickness, a disease, a virus, anything. Whatever it is, God is fighting for us. Big time. Big time. He's fighting for us. Always. Jesus is that mediator. He's always fighting. He's up there to bat. He's up there at the bat to bat, fighting for us. And he made a way for us to be free. He made a way for us to be healed. He made a way for us to have all the benefits. And he gave us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, that whosoever shall believe him partway. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That means you'll be alive in Jesus even after you take your last breath on the earth. Regardless of whether that is, when that is, whether that's tomorrow or in a whole lot of years. I don't want to say how many years because I don't want to give away any ages. Could be tomorrow, could be, 50, 60 years from now. But, if he cares. Right? But, amen. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal or everlasting life. Jesus is the life giver. He gave us life and life more abundantly. More abundantly. Life more abundantly. He gave that to us. He gave it to us. He didn't just gave it to us. He didn't have to give it for us. He could have just said, well, he gave us our freedom, our deliverance, our salvation. It is through Jesus Christ saved. It is through Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross, but That's how they treat him. And that revival is going to hit in America. Jesus said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit.
He didn't say,
I will trickle.
Bring down a little
moderate rain. I will pour out. This is give me all you got, Holy Spirit. I want all of your anointing that you have for me. Pour out my spirit on all men. You know what that means? That means the final outpouring will be greater miracles. The faith movement that. Faith movement or whatever, the 70s. That was the 50s?
You were preaching on the street and scouting on corners and a lot of street ministry, but great revival. And, honey, I'm trying to say Kuhlman and I'm not right.
Amy Temple McPherson and all these different people. And T.L. Osborne and everything he did. And Oral Roberts and all these other great miracles.
What's gonna come? You know, far exceed in the outpouring of the last day, the miracles that are gonna happen, just gonna be so incredible.
I think God is preparing. I think things are being prepared for that.
People have to be hungry.
People have to be expecting. You need to go to church. When we can go back to church again, you need to go in there, not just the first time, the second time, the third time back to church. You need to go back every service expecting.
A move of God.
Don't just go in there expecting, when is it going to be over? I got stuff to do tonight. Oh, and by the way, tomorrow morning I got to get up and look at like 4:30 because, no. I mean, yeah, if you do, but what about Holy Spirit, thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're going to do. I will never leave your house the same way I enter. I always leave your house changed, Jesus. I go in there how I am, and I come out healed and set free and delivered. I thank you, Lord God. I set my expectation high. And by the way, that's regardless of who's preaching, whether pastor's there, your pastor's there or not. Holy Spirit's always there. Always. Every time. Doesn't leave. He said in the last days, I pour out Spirit. And these miracles that will. Amazing. And then this happened like. was partly the devil
trying to bring an attack on what the Holy Spirit's trying to do. He took him away.
But the Holy Spirit
is so much more powerful
that in the end, that he's going to win. And the power level is going to be increased. And then it'll be all done. And God has given us power. And Jesus died so we could be free. Free from sin. Free from all that crud. So why would you want to play in it? Why would you want to go play in all the mud when you can go inside and your mom can clean you off? Jesus came so we could be free from the miry clay, so we could go back out and play in it. He's got the tub already with the hot water in it. And got a scraped knee, the two scraped knees, scraped arm. To wash you off. Just like your mom or your dad would, your brother and sister, and just get you up nice and clean. That's what Jesus is doing for us, and that's what the blood of Jesus has done for us. And he was that way out. He was, because without him, you know, our sin was heavy and all that other stuff. But he made a way for us when there was no way out. He made a way. And because of him, I was able to run out of that grave once and for all. And Easter really is one of those most important to be a little Christmas or anything else by any means. By the way, you died on the cross, that you shed your blood. Every time you take communion, I don't remember instant all the good and weird bad stuff you did. By the way, like I said before, if you have some aught against your brother or sister, the rest of us should either wait on you to get it fixed, or you just not partake until you get it fixed. Shouldn't be having communion if you have aught. You're eating and drinking damnation. As often as you take communion, you do it in remembrance of Jesus. He doesn't want us to be cursed.
God wants you healed. God wants you delivered. He wants you set free.
He wants you to, he doesn't just want you to make it. He doesn't just want you to survive. Your business or whatever else, he wants you to thrive.
Yeah.
Through Jesus, that blood covenant.
It's called a blood covenant because the covenant
is under the blood of Jesus. According to the blood of Jesus, blood over stuff. Listen. Bringing it before. And the blood of Jesus never fails. Ever. time in your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, what you've done in our lives, what you're going to do in our lives, for our healing, deliverance, for you saving us. Thank you for do for us, in us, and through us. Give you all the praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name. No announcements have been made from Major League Baseball or from NHL or NBA when seasons would resume. Or an MLB when the regular season would begin. Baseball, before the regular season could begin, there'd have to be a little bit more. We'll have discussion on that.
I know what the Lions
are going to do. And
until next time,
God first, God always.
Hey, everybody.